Sarah Jones is the editor-in-chief for Politicus USA and a member of the White House press pool who's covered Speaker Nancy Pelosi, former Vice President Joe Biden. He's got a better job now. And President Barack Obama and more. She's kind enough today to join us to talk about some national news as well as also some news out of Pennsylvania after the last few weeks. Sarah, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure to have you on, and thank you very much. Now, are you based in Pennsylvania right now?
We are based in Pennsylvania, and so we got a close-up view of what happened when Trump tried to take away all of our votes here recently, and the Republicans went along with it.
So there was a few Republicans in Minnesota that tried to sign on to the Paxton letter down out of Texas. And, of course, they got a lot of blowback. I mean, you know, some of their more zealous fans thought that was great. But for the most part, most people were like, okay, there is no evidence of fraud here. The Pennsylvania election was looked at, you know, top, bottom, side, back, front. You know, a lot of Republicans said, okay, there's no there. How is the public in Pennsylvania settling back now as their own party, whether on the national level or even locally, was arguing that the state's vote should be just discarded?
I think that is just such a good question because it brings up so many issues that we have here, which I feel like are a sort of micro example of what's happening on the national level with Republicans, which is that, you know, Pennsylvania Republicans decided, even with our a state senator here, he's a Democrat, that they wouldn't see him. They've decided that the way to, you know, fight losing power is to limit voting. And they've decided that if they don't like the results of an election, then they will just not accept it. And so, but one reason that they get away with that here, because you might be wondering, like, why when we have a Democratic governor and we went for Joe Biden, this state did, why this is being allowed? Well, when our state got the courts ordered our state to be redistricted because it was a form of illegal gerrymandering on the behalf of the Republican Party, was unconstitutional, but that doesn't apply to the state districts. And so our state government, we have a legislature that's run by very extremist Republicans who have been trying to get rid of our governor because he wants people to, you know, not die from the coronavirus.
How dare you try to save human beings?
Isn't that right? Like, it's just the worst thing they've ever done. So now, what are Republicans doing here now? Well, because that state senator that they refused to seat, Jim Brewster, the Republican who ran against him took it to all different levels of court, just like Trump did. It was just a sort of micro example exactly of what, you know, Trump was doing on the national stage. And every court, even the Trump judge, turned her down. And so what are Republicans doing now? Now they're trying to overturn an act that they themselves supported in 2019, which was Act 77, which allows everyone to do mail-in voting. And if this doesn't remind you of Mitch McConnell, I don't know what else will. They offered that to Democrats, mail-in voting, if Democrats would get rid of one-party voting. So it used to be that we could go in and vote. You just press this lever and you go down ticket. And we have more registered Democrats here, just like we do in the whole country. Mm-hmm. And so Republicans didn't want that because they were losing down ballot races because of it. So Democrats gave that up in order to get this mail-in voting, which also Republicans supported. You see how it's always that way, isn't it? Like, Republicans seem to get a lot more at the bargaining table. So now they're trying to overturn that.
Well, and that's where we're at. And by the way, we get the same thing here. We've got a Senate Majority Leader Republican who thinks that he's in charge of the state commissioners when Governor Walz is. This is kind of their new standard, trying to hold on to power any way possible. Are they two things? One, are they going to be able to do this, or does the governor say, okay, no, that's not going to happen? And two, what about that, you know, kind of lost, you know, Pennsylvania politician? Is he going to be seated there? It doesn't sound like they have any legal option left to not seat him.
Yeah, he's going to be seated. I believe he was already confirmed just a few days ago. after the last, they lost the last court. I think it was three or four court battles they took it to, and every court turned them down, just like Trump. And so, you know, he's going to be, he is the state senator. No one really thought they were going to win that, but it's just that same thing of being willing to lie to the constituents. And then the thing that really irked me, because I see Republicans do this on the national stage, their excuse for all of this is always, well, there were people with concerns, and we had to do this for the people in our district. What, you had to overturn our votes? That's what you're doing for us? I don't understand how that's, you know, but it's clearly an excuse they're using to justify this, right? But it's absolutely abhorrent, given that the excuse is the exact opposite of what they're doing. They're not representing anyone when you're trying to overturn the majority vote.
Yeah, exactly. So, and when they point to that, it shows you they have no evidence of it, because it's hearsay. It's the textbook definition of hearsay. I think something is wrong. Do you have any evidence? No, but I think something is wrong, so hence you shouldn't do anything. Well, it doesn't work that way, and that's why they've been laughed out of court so much. Will the Republicans in Pennsylvania get rid of mail-in ballots, or no?
No, not as long as we have Tom Wolf as our governor. And just to circle back to what you just said, they cited several unsubstantiated claims of voter fraud to uphold their claim that we should get rid of mail-in voting. it's always like based on this kind of, it's like what Fox News used to be known for doing, but now Republicans are doing it even after a court tells them this didn't happen.
Well, and it should be mentioned, you know, you've got the front row seat for Pennsylvania. You know, one of the reasons why Pennsylvania and a lot of states in the Midwest particularly turned against Trump was that he was promising bringing back jobs, bringing back manufacturing. These are bread and butter issues in these red districts, and the results have come in. I mean, our trade deficit with many countries is actually worse than it was when he took office. The manufacturing jobs have not come back. The ag sector is now in jeopardy because all the farmers' exports, I mean, they're taking a few from us in China, but once Brazil and Argentina get going, that's going to be the end of that. I got to imagine that they just don't seem to be understanding that the reason why that Biden won that state was because Trump failed. And I can't believe, especially when it comes to the blue-collar worker, when it comes to the farmer, that the idea of four more years was something that was going to resonate with them.
Well, that's true. And I think, but that also falls back on logic, which Democrats and liberals find very interesting, but I don't see that resonating so much with conservatives. And so, like, I live in an area that I'm surrounded by Trump voters, and so I get to hear the things they won't tell the media, you know, when the media comes to interview them, and they cite economic anxiety. But what they say to me in just casual conversation is stuff that's so racist, frankly, that there's no doubt left in my mind. And it's not people who are suffering economically. There's a lot of upper tier people who supported Trump and continue to support him. Now, the reason that he did not, you know, it was weird that he won this state in the first place, because this has never been that kind of state, a Trump state. But what happened was the vote was so depressed for Democrats in 2016 for a variety of reasons. And the Democrats did not go after the votes in rural red counties the way that Obama did, that Governor Tom Wolf did, and that now, you know, President Biden did, which is very successful by shaving off a lot of, you know, just some of that support for Trump or the Republican in those areas. And then, of course, Biden is from Scranton, so that helped out. But he also really increased turnout in African-American turnout and suburban women, you know, which we know he turned off. It was odd to me that they ever supported him. That was very strange. I have never understood that. But over time, what I saw on the ground here anyway was that people were getting really disgusted with some of the things he was doing, not nearly enough from my point of view. It's really quite frightening that it took COVID and an outcry from Black Lives Matter and the separation of children from their parents.
At the border,
and
yeah.
Children put in cages. Yeah, right, mm-hmm. To have all of that, like it took that. Imagine, it would take nothing. Obama would have been out of office if he had even had one iota of that kind of failure.
Absolutely. It should be noted, once again, Howard Dean was right back, 2006, the 50 state, if you compete everywhere, you win. And when have we won? We compete everywhere. That's the important thing, and it's definitely a rule to go with. Once again, joining us right now is the editor-in-chief for Politicus USA, Sarah Jones, kind enough to join us. Let's talk some national stuff here. We all knew this was coming. Mitch McConnell trying to put on earnest, sincere face, which is hilarious in its own self, and trying to say about how the Democrats need to follow the rules that they so, I mean, my God, I've never seen a group of people utilize every procedure, rule, and ancient bylaw they could to basically do whatever they wanted to. Now all of a sudden realizing that, well, now their plan has come back to bite them in the caboose. McConnell, it doesn't sound like Schumer wants anything to do with the filibusters or anything to help out Mitch McConnell at this point.
No, he just Chuck Schumer just said he was turning down McConnell's power sharing agreement since it was based on protecting the filibuster, which kind of suggests that Schumer thinks he has the votes, the Democratic votes, to get rid of that. And so I think, who knows what could happen? I don't know how you felt during the Trump years, but it never seemed to me like it was going to end. It was just this assault every day, and I began to think, that hope did not exist anymore. And so now that we have a little bit of hope again, I'm sort of looking at this going, I wonder if Mitch McConnell is finally going to get a little taste of his own medicine. I mean, he wants, Democrats to get rid of this rule that this tool that he used himself twice just in the last Congress. It's just outrageous. But that kind of outrage, I don't know if, again, I'm repeating this, but it's kind of because I feel how many of us were sitting there constantly under Trump filled with this sort of outrage at the hypocrisy that was never ending. It just became so exhausting to constantly be bringing up. But you said, you cared about deficits. Now here you are with, deficits. We're just going to go broke for all these corporate tax cuts. And so, it's going to be interesting. And McConnell doesn't seem to. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it. Just the level. It's nice to see. And going back to your point, the thing you were saying was about that Schumer thinks he's got the votes here. I think it's two things. I think it's one. I think the brazenness of McConnell the last few years. I mean, the Supreme Court seats alone was just outrageous. But then, as well, on top of it, I think what the Schumer has finally realized is that us basically thinking that the 50-page strongly worded memo is not the response to someone coming up and kicking us in the caboose. And so I think they're finally realizing this, and they realize that, Manchin, you want to be a Democrat, right? Well, you're going to have to go through a primary, and you can be always the vote that sides with the Republicans and hope that works out for you. Or else you can basically get on board with us, and we'll make concessions for him. You find what Joe Manchin wants, give him a few bills, give him a bone or two. But the reality is that if they go on out there, I think they've realized that if they do this and they've got the filibuster, then the anger at Democrats, if they don't take advantage of this power, that it will be very palatable from the voting base.
Absolutely. And I have been repeating this constantly since, Democrats won the presidency and then the Senate, that the voters have given you this power. They desperately want you to take it. Do not make the mistake that you've made before of then sharing that with people who we now know, many of whom, I'm going to go out on a limb here, I don't think it's that far of a limb, and say that they've behaved like traitors. I mean, this seditious attack on the Capitol should be the very last straw. These are not people you negotiate with. And we just saw tonight that the Senate Republicans are saying they're not going to convict Trump in this impeachment trial. And my response to that is, where's your call for unity now? And you think that this is part of power sharing? This isn't how that works, where only Democrats have to abide by the law.
It just abides by our rules. It shows you how desperate the Republicans are to make sure that Nazis, white supremacists, and racists keep voting for them. Because let's face it, those votes alone in some of these gerrymandered districts are enough to basically hand that district to a Democrat at this point. And so, yeah, it is somewhat disturbing. But I think we both can agree, if the roles were reversed and the Republicans had this 50-50 split, they would be able to pass pretty much anything. If not for they would have passed the reforms to health care. If not for John McCain, they would be able to pretty much do anything they want to. And so the Democrats have got to stop acting like they're hindered by the fact that they're in charge.
Absolutely. I mean, you see Nancy Pelosi, she has such control over her caucus on the issues that matter. She allows all these diversified opinions, which is very important if we're not going to be, Democrats don't want to be like Republicans, where it's kind of this fascist, organization with only one line. But when it comes down to it, if you've been empowered by the people to do the best you can for the people, then you need to take that power. If you're not going to, the people are not going to continue to vote for you. That's the end of, that's the way that works. And we just hope that the people's vote matters, because during this last election, and really since Citizens United and so many other problematic things that have happened, have taken away the power of the people. And I'm hoping that Democrats can address that. But of course, now they have to fix the multiple crises that Trump has left for us.
Oh God.
Which is always the case, right? We saw that with Obama.
Let's finish out on a positive thing. Biden's numbers, now it did help that it was a very unorthodox inauguration, but he absolutely dominated the inauguration audience. Was it 2 million? Is it 2 million more people watched his inauguration?
Yeah, nearly 2 million.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's that is a very positive note. And the thing to take away from that, that I hope people take away from that, is that for all of his screaming and his constant sucking up all the air out of the room, nobody really wanted to see Donald Trump. They didn't want to listen to him. That was all a myth that he created.
Absolutely.
And, there's a lot of a lot of falsehoods behind all of that. But it turns out the American people want to watch someone who wants to go to work for them and who cares about this country. And that's Joe Biden. And that's what he did for us. He put on a beautiful, hopeful show that was about people. It wasn't about himself. And I think that's the other thing.
Now you
appealing.
You said it perfectly, and I think was it long for everyone? Yes, it was 18 freaking years in four. I mean, that was that term in office aged me, and I think people. I think it was like when Fauci shows up yesterday. I think people was like, oh, good, we've got some hope again. There's hope. Hope is back, and hopefully things will move in the more positive light. Sarah Jones, once again, if people want to get in touch with Politicus USA, how do they find you?
It's just politicususa.com, and I'm on Twitter as Politicus Sarah.
All right. We'll link to all this a little bit later on. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Sarah Jones, editor-in-chief of Politicus USA. Sarah, by all means, anytime you want to, come on back, please.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. Sarah Jones, editor-in-chief, Politicus USA. We'll take a break. Final segment when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.